My name's Ed Piskor.
I'm Jim Rugg.
And we showed off on the channel at various times some of your earliest comic submissions. We showed off a video of like all of my earliest comics. We're going to take a look at some super early 1974 John Byrne professional comic submissions. A Fantastic Four story, to be sure. First, a little business.
Yes, it's the holiday season, so I am plugging my latest two graphic novels, Street Angel, The Deadliest Girl Alive, Homeless Ninja on a Skateboard, 240 pages of some of my best comics came out from Image Comics late last year. Didn't get to promote it much this year, so that's one you can pick up wherever comics are sold. The Plain Janes, my young adult graphic novel in its entirety here, the complete three-volume set in one book. Very excited by this. A bunch of outcasts in high school who turn to public art and making art kind of guerrilla style to liven up their suburban lives. Leads to all kinds of trouble and hijinks. So perfect for any comics readers in your family on your Christmas list this year.
My version of a young adult graphic novel, though, is Red Room. Because when I was a little dude, I was reading Faust, The Crow, and all sorts of violent, gory, gnarly shit. And that's what I'm building right here, man. $3 will get you the archive for what I have on Patreon right now for the early adopters. Patreon.com/Ed Piskor. Issue 1's up there now. And serializing new strips every Tuesday. The X-Men Grand Design Omnibus is sold out at our level, so we did our job. If you can find it in shops, go get that stuff. If you can find it online, go get it. But we have very few of these left in the wild, and I'd like to sell the rest of them out before 2020 is out.
Artist editions are the greatest Christmas gift.
Agreed, man. And Fantagraphics is doing a big sale on their website right now. I think you could get this for about 30% off, man. So the Ed Piskor Studio Edition, go to Fantagraphics.com, and let's make these suckers disappear. Haven't read more comics in the past 20 years than I have since we started the Cartoonist Kayfabe channel. So I'm on a constant grind of just drawing comics, reading comics, thinking comics, dreaming about comics. And I was reading this. This might have come through one of our mailbags or something like that. It's a complete issue's worth of a Jim Salakrup, John Byrne interview. Comics interview, it doesn't work almost ever. It was in a very privileged place in comics there in the mid-80s. Had access to Bill Sienkiewicz and Frank Miller and Alan Moore at the time when they were making their most important works. And the questions that they get asked are, so what's your favorite Watchmen character? And like such garbage bullshit. But there's some very cool stuff in this.
This is awesome stuff. This is, you know, coming up with the 80s. This is your mid-80s direct market rising to prominence. And you had a handful of these kind of magazines. This is Wizard, you know, decade before Wizard kind of stuff. Very fun that these exist. And I mean, pre-internet, you know, like if you were going to get any comics insight, it was through these kind of comics, which ran the gamut from amateur productions that were sometimes produced in comic book stores and then gained prominence to, you know, the more glossy stuff like Comic Scene probably being the higher end of that. There's a bunch of these. You start digging through and you don't see them in all the back issue bins. You know, this is kind of a fringe part of comics back issues.
Right.
So kind of cool to get into an issue of this.
Yeah. And I've been reading the interview for pleasure. I'm actually not through with the interview because it is gigantic. And it's like I take my John Byrne in very, very small doses. It seems to be, at least now I'm like 50 pages into the goddamn interview, all Fantastic Four. So, you know.
That makes sense.
I guess. I mean, the guy has a pretty big career, even up to this point. But what I want to show off, man, he talks about it in the interview, his early Marvel submissions. We're talking pre-Charlton. We're talking pre-everything, you know, pro. He sent off and got to know Jim Salakrup when he was turning in these submission pages.
This is incredible. This is a 30-page Fantastic Four story by John Byrne from the mid-70s.
Yes. And
incredible.
This would be, you know, if you wanted a gig, they would send you this script. And this is John Byrne's interpretation. And here, let me read this quote real quick. Done in, I guess, 1974, in the days when Rich Buckler was doing the Fantastic Four and doing it in a pseudo-Kirby style. So I said, well, if that's what they want, I can give it to them.
I love seeing his pencils. Look how tight his pencils are.
Yeah, man. This was, it was crucial. Like, if you wanted to get in the game as a penciler. Like I did several rounds of pencil submissions, and one of the first notes was always like, your pencil too loose, man. So, you know, you hear that enough times, then you realize you have to turn this kind of thing in. And this is so tight. Now this was, we're bound by 1980s technology, so it's not picking up everything. It's pretty good, but I do think that it is very tight. Leads me to think that he probably did a version that he liked. This is a light boxed, clean page that he, you know, sent off to Marvel. You know, I think there was a page of underdrawing underneath this stuff.
You see the Kirby stuff from this from the 70s era that they have pencils of, and it's sort of the same version. And you know, that guy's just working on one draft on the page. So I don't know, but wow, like his thing is, looks great.
Yeah. And you could see, like, you know, it's so good and so much of it is there. But then you still see a little bit where you could tell that Byrne is working some things out.
It's cool to see the Kirby part too, where he's like doing this Kirby homage on top of, you know, whatever Byrne is.
Byrne talked about maybe visiting Buckler around this time. And he, in this interview, says that Buckler, like every page and every panel was drawn, like his morgue file, it wasn't photos yes. of telephone poles. It was kind of like the Charles Burns sketchbooks that his dad compiled, where it's just like, here's a drawer full of Reed Richards. Here's a drawer full of the thing.
I am surprised that's not a bigger vein of Marvel DC Comics. Like probably there's not an artist or two who that's their whole thing, because like it makes sense in a nostalgic industry like Marvel DC Comics. There would be groups that would be into that. This is really cool. And I mean, these are Kirby panels. These are Kirby panels that Byrne is putting in there.
Yeah, it's so fun too. Like, look at his face real close. And, you know, there's a little clutter. So like he would clean this stuff up like in the future.
I love seeing this because this is a struggle for me. Like I'm drawing a little character and it's like, how much detail do you put in a face? How does it work? So it's fun to see other people wrestling with that, especially somebody that's, you know, going to go on to such a pro career. Hard choices, some of this stuff.
This is incredible stuff, man.
I'm astounded by this. I hadn't seen it before, and this is a real great thing to pull out of a back issue, Ben. Like, wow, 30 pages, man. That's incredible.
You feel the burn in this.
You know. See it in different places, you know, snippets of it for sure. It's neat to see him doing like the Kirby, you know, like this is him dissecting the Kirby stuff. Like, well, you know, Kirby sort of did these backgrounds. Those are very much, I think, Byrne-like in that they're a Kirby homage.
Right.
It's not at all quite Kirby, but it's looking at Kirby and trying to figure out like, how does that work? It also has the How to Draw Comics the Marvel Way feel, where everything is like Dutch angles.
Exactly. Yeah, very much, man.
Wow. That's a really good piece.
Yeah.
The negative space of the torch flying around.
Yeah, you never see that in a Marvel comic. He was real proud of himself with that moment, I'm sure.
I think he should be. It's good stuff. Yeah, his torch stuff's really good in this. This reminds me of late era Ditko.
It does.
If you look at his black and white self-published stuff, it's there's some real resemblance there.
Some more of these open panels. Or you know what? They might not even be open panels. Like you could faintly see some pencil lines. Mm. So once again, just bound by the technology. Look at that, man.
Yeah, that could be a cropping and necessity of this magazine. You know, trying to maximize art. Because is this a wider than comic book magazine?
Pop that on there. A little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit to make up for the thickness of the paper. These hands are a little unfortunate.
That's a surprise, right?
It is a surprise. Like he did way better hands earlier.
30 pages is a lot for a young artist to put together.
It's funny, when he's doing Kirby, you know what it is? It's the masculine. So he's just trying to figure out the feminine hands. Those are hard because like when you see them in comics, they do make them like little claws.
Yeah. Kirby's 70s, like the Fantastic Four and stuff, I guess 60s, you see it a lot too. It's a real different hand than the big square
than
fingers pointing out, right?
The Kirby thumbs, man. Nobody talks about Kirby thumbs enough. How cool, right?
I love it. It's amazing. It's so peculiar. the grafting of those two guys together is just really odd. But I love that this is a 30-page submission from this guy. It's you would, I would have gone crazy if I got hold of this. This is right out of 2001.
Right.
Which didn't come out until a couple years later, so I guess it's not. It may be something earlier.
I thought 2001 was a 60s movie.
And it was, 1974. But I'm thinking of like the issue 5.
Oh, right.
Issue 6, something like that.
Got to get a good splash in there.
Yeah, some Kirby Tech. This is a lot like the one cover of Destroyer Duck.
Look at that guy.
This is really awesome.
Just twisting up that bodies, just proving that he can.
I also look at something like this, and it makes Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles make more sense. It feels like something that you did, you know, in your living room with your buddies. It's all the stuff that you loved about comics. You know, it has that, this is that pre-80s kind of toys running around in your comics.
For sure. And one of the things about the submissions was, you know, you need to prove that you could draw everything. And there's a certain kind of artist where when you see what they do and how kind of smart their art is, you could just trust them. But on average, when they would kind of give out submissions, we're going to have to see buildings. We're going to have to see character play. We're going to have to see superhero dynamics. A funeral sequence, not easy to draw, man. You know, and this is a good interpretation.
There's so many iconic funeral sequences too. And I don't think about them going back into the early 70s.
Right.
But it feels like that was such a big part of the 80s and 90s comic scene. So maybe it's been around forever.
Some more of those girl hands.
Yeah, those are funny. This is your classic. Spider-Man's done being Spider-Man.
Exactly. And look at that, like, Hitachi magic wand. Pretty cool, huh?
I love it. That's really awesome. Like I said, you know, for digging out, like, this will go on my list to look for.
Yeah, for those playing at home, it's Comics Interview 25. If you want a full-length John Byrne story that's never been published anywhere else.
Look at this first, you know, couple pages. Like, to me, this is super strong. And then you look at, like, the last pages.
You start running out of...
And you can see 30 pages is a lot for a young guy to put together.
Start running out of space, man. At this time, some process stuff with Byrne when he's doing Fantastic Four. And when he was drawing X-Men, he was also doing Avengers. So it's like two team books and sometimes a Marvel team-up and stuff. 4 pages a day is his standard operating procedure. Check... Oh, yeah. How about that?
Yeah, I knew we were going to get into some early Byrne, and so this is something I pulled out. This is How to Draw Comics, and it's Byrne doing art samples in here, along with John Romita Sr., which is a really odd thing. Solson is the publisher of this, and this is like 85, so it's not like this is early Byrne. This is Byrne at the top of his game, maybe as hot as he ever was. I think Solson would license stuff. You know, they license Turtle stuff, so they may have licensed some of this through Marvel.
Right.
I don't really know the particulars. It's very similar to How to Draw Comics the Marvel Way. In terms of structure and content, very, very similar to that book.
This is huge, a huge piece for people. Like, let's see.
I like this stuff. You know,
check this out.
Your layouts. Yeah.
He would, on a piece of typing paper, lay out whole, whole sequences and stuff.
Yeah, make notes at home, because this is not going to be the last time we get into this.
It's the same stuff.
Oh, yeah.
He's very proud of himself. This little section, but one of the things that when I was taking stuff to comic conventions and getting my stuff shredded up by pros, what they advised, like, grid off every panel, you know, so that you know where your characters are in space. And Art Adams does it. Like, you could see a lot of people, like, they grid. I think Frank Quitely, we looked at Flex Mentallo, like, I think he grids off his stuff because you could just tell, like, he knows where those characters are standing, like, in that environment. It's not floating bodies like you often get in comics.
Yeah, especially young guys. That's a common mistake we all make early on.
And sometimes you do it for storytelling purposes, man, where you just, you know, you put that close character and it's way below the vanishing point, but, like, whatever, it still works.
There are so many of these, like, How to Draw Comics kind of books. We'll look at more of these, but I thought it was appropriate for a Byrne. Early Byrne.
Absolutely. Super glad you brought that, because, like, when I saw this here, I'm like, I would check that out, man. Anyhow, we showed off some of our submissions. This is not going to be the last video that we show off where we take a look at the very earliest works of prominent future professionals. I find this stuff very inspiring. And I think that a good segment of our audience who are also makers think they dig it too. Get out of here, Jimmy.
Yep.
Kayfabers, like, follow, subscribe to the YouTube channel. Hit the bell. We'll notify you when the next vids are available. Octobriana's in stores. Street Angel, the Image Comics collection's in stores. The hardcover Street Angel collection, out of print, but it's in stores. What else, man? Plain Jane's in bookstores. Patreon.com/Ed Piskor. Serializing the Red Room comic right at this very moment. Every Tuesday, new strips. The X-Men Grand Design Omnibus sold out at our level. Might be able to find it in stores before the holiday season is out. Get it while it's hot. And also, the Ed Piskor Studio Edition is on sale for a steep discount on the Fantagraphics website. So get that as well.
You can subscribe to the Cartoonist Kayfabe e-newsletter at links below this video. I encourage you to do that just to keep up with everything we're doing. It's a good way to make sure you don't miss anything. You can also find Cartoonist Kayfabe t-shirts and merchandise at the links below this video.
Give them one more set of Martian orders, Jimmy. We'll get out of here.
Read more comics.
Make them, too.